Michael Henderson and his team had perfected a child seat that had set a new Australian standard. Michael Payne observes.
In the late 70s, I think we started to require top tether anchorages on vehicles for child restraints. That was a world first. And it's only in the last couple of years that, for example, the USA has required these top tether anchorages on vehicles and recognised the advantages for child safety.
The Tyro team was then ready to face yet another challenge.
We realised that the child safety seats were for the protection of children up to around 4 years of age. It's still the case. But after that, there was a gap between children of, say, five and children of 10, 11-year-old, because they had to move into the use of the adult seatbelt. The main problem that we saw originally was that if you put an adult seatbelt on a 5 or 6-year-old sitting in a car seat, the belt's in the wrong place. The lap belt comes up into the stomach. The shoulder belt, the sash belt, tends to cut across the neck. Also, the child can't see out. So what you've got is an unhappy child with an unsafe seatbelt. So what we thought, well, let's raise the child up. That's the first thing. And seat them on a cushion. So we built cushions and did the sled tests. But the child, having been raised up, immediately made the seatbelt orientation better. The lap belt went back down to the hips and the sash belt tended to go over the chest and shoulder, not the neck. So that was just by raising the child up, we solved quite a lot of things all at once. However, on the sled test, what we found was that the cushion just slipped out from underneath the child and shot off, and then the child was effectively in a loose seatbelt, so that didn't work. So then we went two ways. We developed a booster seat which hooked into the lap belt so that it couldn't slip out from under the child, and we started moving into booster seats with a back, so that was held into position by the child. And the original kind of booster seat, that was simply a cushion, that doesn't exist anymore, but the booster seat with a back is basically still what children use, and they can sit in that and use the adult seatbelt.
The team now focused their attention on protection for infants. Bruce Dardell explains.
There was no proper restraint for babies, and there was quite a long process of working with manufacturers to improve child restraints, and Paul Kelly, who worked in the laboratory, really took a close interest in that issue and worked with a number of manufacturers. He would test their devices, he'd offer suggestions as to how they could be improved. There were issues with the design, with the materials. We had some of the early plastics just couldn't withstand the impact of a crash, so they almost explode on impact. The baby restraints, the manufacturers were not actually convinced that there was a market for baby restraints. And we did quite a bit of work that really gave the manufacturers free research, but we felt it was important that this happen, otherwise these products wouldn't come onto the market. And when the first baby restraint came onto the market, they couldn't keep up with demand, and it's been the same ever since.
The baby capsule developed at Tyro during the 1970s was so successful that it won the Australian Design Award and a Prince Philip Award. In Victoria, the authorities went one step further, as Ray Taylor describes.
One of the examples that became important for both baby bassinets and child car seats was that they be correctly fitted. And it was clear that a number of people were putting their children at risk. They put the seat in, but they wouldn't fit it properly, and therefore the seat could move around, or they didn't have a top tether strap, or they didn't work the seat belt into it in the appropriate fashion. So there was a series of fitting stations that were registered to provide fitting advice. Those stations all received professional training from VicRoads before they were able to undertake their task. So it was really a professional development type process. Many of the fitting stations were associated with garages that ran roadworthy certificates as well. So that was sort of like a one-stop shop. And the reason for that was because in many cases, earlier cars had to have some anchorage points put into the vehicle, and they had to be done properly, otherwise they wouldn't work. So it was a combination of those things.
To encourage parents to use the baby bassinets, the Victorian government offered the public an incentive.
The baby bassinet loan scheme was a situation where the RTA bought a whole heap of the new restraints. They were the safe and sound capsules, and made them available to the community through a loan scheme that was run at a local level by Community Health Services, and they were loaned to parents, I think, a fairly, like, might have been $10 or $20 for the six-month period where your child needed it, because after that period they were old enough to sit up. And that was an interesting program. Issues like, when did the capsule stand up and when does it break down? How do you make sure they're clean so that the next baby is going into a clean bassinet? All of those sorts of things had to be dealt with in the program.